Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2021, and I'm so excited to be able to do this introduction for you. We have three fantastic shows tonight. We have the season opener of the 1946-1947 season of the Jack Benny Show, followed by the season opener and very first episode ever of the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. Now, this is an episode that I've never presented to you before. I've never had it before. It recently became available, and it's in great sound, and I think you'll really enjoy it. It is very, very similar to the audition show that I played for you in the past. In fact, I think there's only one line difference in the audition show. He was talking to a boy about why he wanted to get home and to his wife, and just sort of joking that he should talk to his mom about the birds and the bees, or his dad about the birds and the bees, I guess. And the boy, he asked the boy's age, and the boy says he's 14. Well, when they did it as to air it on the very first episode, they kept the same boy, kept the same actor, did everything the same, so he sounds like he's 13, but they ask him what his age is, and he says 18. So apparently somebody wanted it to be changed 18, so that's what we have tonight for you. And then following that, we have the very first appearance of Phil Harris on the Jack Benny Show from 1936. We jump back 10 years and we get Phil's very first appearance. And you can kind of compare what Phil is in his prime with his own show versus what Phil is in his early stages on the Jack Benny Show. It's quite dramatic, really, when you compare them. Anyway, I hope you enjoy all three shows. Should be great for you, and we'll see you folks next time.
The Jack Benny Program. Quality of product is essential to continuing success. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
LSMFT, LSMFT, LSMFT.
Yes, sir.
You said it.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Year after year.
Yes, today, tomorrow, always, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Year after year, at auction after auction, independent tobacco experts, auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
This fine Lucky Strike tobacco means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
At 50, 60, American.
Just sit there, Benny, and keep your trap shut.
Yeah, one false move and we'll slug you.
But fellas, please, untie me. My program is on. I should be there. I'll lose my job if I miss my first broadcast.
You're gonna miss them all, Benny.
What?
You ain't gonna drive us nuts anymore.
For 15 years, we've been listening to that, "Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking." Well, we've had enough of it, see?
Yeah, let's bump them off.
No. Please don't kill me. I don't want to die. Spare my life. I'll make it worth your while. I'll give you each $10. Please, fellas, don't kill me.
Go ahead, Joe. Let him have it.
Wait a minute. We ain't had no fun. Let's torture him first.
Okay. I'll burn him with my cigarette.
No. Don't burn me. Don't burn me. Don't. What kind of a cigarette is
that? A Lucky Strike.
Okay, burn me. Burn me where it'll show. After all, Lucky Strikes are made of the light. That night, that fine, that naturally mild light.
Let go of my tongue.
What's the matter with you guys, anyway?
All right, Joe, we've stalled long enough. Lift him out of the chair and lay him on a table.
Okay, but I want to do a neat job on this guy. Hand me my rubber gloves.
Here.
No, fellas, don't kill me. Don't. I'll make it $11. I mean it.
Ready.
Knife.
Axe.
Poison.
Poison.
Rope.
Knife.
You've got that already.
Thanks.
Please, fellas.
Gun, gun, bullet, bullet.
Oh. Atomic bomb.
Atomic bomb.
What?
Give it to him.
Boss, boss, wake up, wake up. Boss, wake up.
What? Oh. Oh, it's you, Rochester.
Yeah.
Gee, what a nightmare I just had. I was with two fellas, two of them. What a horrible dream.
Did you get stuck with the check again?
No, nothing like that. I dreamt I was held captive by a couple of thugs. They were going to keep me from going back on the air. It was terrible.
It must have been, boss. You look pale. Sick. Let me see your tongue. Fingerprints.
That's funny. There shouldn't be. You wore rubber gloves.
What'd you say?
Oh, nothing, nothing. You weren't there.
Doggone, boss. That sure must have been a realistic dream. Look how you thrashed around in the bed.
Yeah.
You even pulled an arm off your teddy bear.
Oh, darn it. I've had it ever since I was 30. What a nightmare. Seems like I always dream like that before an opening broadcast. Well, I better start getting dressed. Ouch! Rochester, I told you to shorten my nightgown. Why didn't you?
I was going to, boss, but I hated to cut those rosebuds off the bottom.
Oh. Well, get the car, Rochester, and as soon as I get dressed, we'll go to the studio.
Yes, sir.
Drive carefully, Rochester. I'm nervous. You know how it is before an opening broadcast.
What are you worrying about, boss? You've been on the radio 15 years.
Well?
If they ain't found out by now, they ain't never going to find out.
I guess not, but take it easy anyway. I don't want to have a lot of... Rochester, when you come to an intersection, blow your horn.
I can't. The rubber bulb is broken.
Well, then put it in your mouth and blow it.
But Trilla won't let me.
Well, anyway, here we are at NBC. Want to come in and watch the show, Rochester?
No thanks, boss. I'll sit here and listen to it on the radio.
Okay. The earphones are in the glove compartment. Here's the key.
Good luck, boss.
Thanks. Take back your samba, hi, your rumba, hi, your conga, hi, yi, yi. Take back your samba.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Benny.
Yes?
May I have your autograph, please?
My autograph? Certainly.
Would you mind signing it in this pail of water? I want to try out my new pen.
Sure, just a minute. I'll pull up my sleeve. There you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take back your rumba, hi, your samba, hi. Gee, those pens are becoming popular. Maybe I ought to do some jokes about them on my program. Nah, the public isn't ready for it yet. Take back your samba, hi, your rumba, hi, your conga, hi. Hiya, Don.
Well, hello, Jack.
Well, well, well. Well, Don. We'll be on the air in a few minutes.
Yes, sir. How does it feel getting back in the groove again, Jack?
Well, to tell you the truth, Don, I'm a little excited. I mean, I feel good, but I got a nervous stomach.
I know just how you feel, Jack. I got a nervous stomach, too.
Well, you're just about 30 inches more nervous than I am. But you'll be all right. Say, Don, have you got everything all set for your part of the program? You know, just the way you want it?
I sure have, Jack. And I took the liberty of hiring a quartet to work with me during the commercials.
A quartet? For the commercial?
Oh, I knew you'd like
it.
So I'll tell you what I did, Jack. I put them under contract for 8 weeks, and it will cost you only $500 a week. Isn't that wonderful?
Why, yes. I mean, yes. But, Don, that quartet must be sensational for that kind of money.
Oh, they are, Jack. This will start a new style in radio. Talking commercials with a big vocal background. You'll be crazy about it.
I know, but $500 a week for 8 weeks. Well,
If it's as good as you say, Don, it might be worth it. How much time we got before we go on the air?
Oh, about 5 minutes.
I'll have the orchestra warm up. I'll be right up.
Okay.
Take back your samba. Hi, your rumba. Hi, your conga. $500 for a quartet. Hi, yi, yi. I can't keep moving. Hi, my chassis. Hi, any longer. Hi, yi, yi.
Stand by.
Take it, boys.
The Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been said that Jack Benny has made more people laugh than any other comedian who ever lived. And now we bring you the man who said it, Jack Benny!
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, for our first show, that was a very nice introduction, but I wish you wouldn't make people think that I'm conceited enough to say that I made more people laugh than any other comedian. I mean, it's true, but I didn't say it. Well, Don, here I am starting my 15th year. My 15th year in radio. And Don, just think, for 13 of those years, you've been with me.
I know, Jack, and I'll always be grateful.
Well,
why, when I started out with you 13 years ago, I was just a little nobody. Yeah. And look at me today. A big fat slob.
Don't thank me, Don. I'd have done the same for anybody. And, Don, the nice part of our association is that it's always been so pleasant and happy. I mean, I don't know. I like just being around you. Especially when you laugh. You know, I haven't heard you laugh for 17 weeks. Go ahead, Don, laugh.
Oh, no, Jack, you embarrassed
me. Come on, Don, come on, laugh. Come on. No, come on. No, laugh some more. Come on, Don. No, Don, hard, real hard. Harder, Don, harder. Now, to you people sitting in the audience, if you ever want to get in here again, that's what I mean. And, Don, I know it's a little early in the show, but I want to hear this idea you have for the commercial, you know, with the quartet. You know, after all, it's $500. Are the boys ready?
Oh, yes, they're still rehearsing, but they'll be here in just a few minutes.
Good, good. I can... Oh, well, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hello, Don.
Hello.
Mary, I haven't seen you in 4 months. Let me look at you. Gee, you look swell. You look wonderful. Different. What have you done to yourself?
Well, Jack, this summer I really took it easy and I gained 12 pounds.
12 pounds? Let me look at you again. Yes, sir. And your face looks fuller, too. Come here, Mary. Come here. Let me see if I can still get my arm around
you. Oh, Jack, don't be so silly.
Now, come here, Mary. Come here. Jackie's got you now.
Oh, Jack, now stop it. Ooh, you're so strong.
Come here. Come here. Give me a kiss.
Jack, you're hurting me. Where'd you get those muscles?
Eastern Columbia, Broadway at 9. Now, come on. It's a swell department store. Come here, Mary. Come on. Now, give me a kiss. A nice big one.
Oh, huh? All right.
Come on. There.
Gee, what a kiss. What's come over you?
I don't know. I'm nervous. Maybe it's the quiver you like. Mary. Tell me, what did you do all summer?
Well, I worked most of the time. I got laryngitis and made a lot of money.
You got laryngitis, made a lot of... What did you do?
I tiptoed into radio studios and whispered Martha Ivers.
Oh, was that you?
Say, Mary, you glad to be back on the program again?
I sure am.
I am, too. But you know, Mary, I must admit I'm a little nervous about the opening show.
Jack, if you think you're nervous, what about Phil Harris? He has two opening shows today.
Well, as a rule, I'm not... What? What did you say?
Phil has two opening shows, yours and the Fitch Bandwagon. He has his own program.
Phil has his own program? Gee, I didn't know that. That's gratitude for you. The least he could have done is let me know. Could have dropped me a postcard.
Or called you up.
No, my phone's disconnected during the summer. his own program. Phil. Gosh, Mary, what in the world can Phil do for a full half hour?
I don't know, but if he adds two more choruses to That's What I Like About the South, he's in.
I can't get over it. So Phil has his own program.
Do you mind?
Of course not. I like to see people get ahead. I want everyone to be a success. In fact, I'd even like to see Dennis Day get his own show.
He has.
What? Mary, did I hear you correctly?
If that thing in your ear is connected, you did.
Mary, this is no time to be funny. You're kidding about Dennis, aren't you?
No, he starts his own program Thursday night for Colgate. You're not mad, are you?
Well, of course I'm not mad. To be in fine shape, I let little things like that bother me. What do you think keeps me looking so young and strong?
Eastern Columbia, Broadway at 9.
I mean, besides that. Anyway, with me, it's just a matter of principle, that's all. If Phil and Dennis feel that they can go on their own shows and get laughs, it's all right with me. I don't care. Say, perhaps the little chicks feel that the nest that I built is too small and that they no longer need the sheltering wing of the mother hen.
If you lay an egg, I'm going to punch you right in the nose.
Mary, I was just
being... Jack, we can do the commercial now. The quartet's ready.
Oh, good. Mary, I want you to hear this. This is the new commercial Don thought of with a quartet behind it. I got him tied up for 8 weeks at $500 a week. Go ahead, Don. Let's hear it.
Okay. Ready, boys? Let's go. L-S-M-F-T. L-S-M-F-T. Yes, sir. You bet. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw. Lucky Strikes are made of that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. So for real deep-down smoking enjoyment, smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
For this, I'm paying $500?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, quality of product is essential to continuing success. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Wait a minute. Don, is that all?
Yes.
For that, I'm paying $500 a week for 8 weeks? Stand aside, Don. I want to talk to this quartet. Listen, fellas, if you think I'm going to pay you $500 a week just for that, you're crazy. Now cut that out. And get out of here. Don, I thought you had something to...
Hiya, Jackson. Hello, folks. Don't feel low. You'll soon hear Harris on his very own show, and hallelujah. Lay the beautiful old program applause on me. Leave me know it. Make me know it.
Phil. Phil, Mary told me all about it. And I'd like to have a little talk with you about your own show.
Sorry, Jack, I ain't using no stooges.
I don't want to talk to you about that. Yet. I only want to know one thing. You've been with me for 9 years. Why did you go out and take another show?
M-O-N-E-Y. M-O-N-E-Y.
So that's why, eh? Well, that's the trouble with you, Phil. All you think about is money. Women and money.
Well, I don't know of a better parlay. Do you, Bub?
I knew I didn't have that nightmare for nothing.
Hello, Donzie.
Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Livy.
Hello, Phil. You look great, doesn't he, Jack?
Yeah, he looks swell.
Did you go away for the summer, Phil?
Yeah, I sure did, Livy. We were there, just the two of us, and we really had a wonderful time.
Just the two of you? Who'd you go with?
Ray Milland.
Oh. You and Ray Milland?
Yeah, we lost all of July and part of August.
Well, of all the good you're going to do me, you could have lost September and October, too.
Now, Mr. Benny, please don't be facetious.
Oh, fine. But, Phil, where'd you get a word like that?
My uncle died and left it to me.
Oh, congratulations.
But you know, Jackson, it's mighty good to see the old gang again, and I can't begin to... Say, who are these four guys?
I told you to get out of here! Quartet, $500. 8 weeks yet. Where's Dennis? It's time for a song. He's not here yet.
Well, I saw him this morning. He was going to rehearse for his own program.
His own program. What should I do with my program?
No coaching from the audience.
Oh, fine. Well, I'm going to call Dennis's house and find out why he's not here. Operator.
Oh, Mabel, what is it, Gertrude? Sage B is flashing. It must be Mr. Benny.
Oh, yeah, I wonder what Notorious wants now.
I'll find out. Yes, Mr. Benny.
Who?
Dennis Day. I'll try and get him for you. Gee, Mabel, don't it feel strange getting back to work after vacation?
I'll say, but I really enjoyed myself. I spent two lovely weeks at Lake Winnipehockamooka in the Pines. It sure was invigorating. Where did you go, Gertrude?
I spent my 2 weeks in the mountains at Ginsburg's Rest.
And what did you do?
Ginsburg let me alone, so I rested.
Gertrude, I had a wonderful time. Every day I went swimming. Look, here's a picture of me in my bathing suit.
Oh, boy, what a picture. Doesn't even look like you. Where'd you get those beautiful curves?
Eastern Columbia, Broadway at 9.
Well, what do you know?
Operator.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Benny. Dennis Day does not answer.
Okay. How do you like that? It's a fine program. You think at least everybody in my cast would show up on time.
Who's late, Mr. Benny?
Dennis Day. Should have been here an hour ago.
Why don't you call him?
I did. I just tried... Dennis! Where have you been? Dennis, I just tried to get you on the phone to find out that why you... Hey, wait a minute, kid. You're soaking wet. Is it raining out?
No, a man asked me for my autograph and I fell in.
To be so nervous. It's not your own show yet, you know. That's what I'm nervous. Get nervous on your own show. Listen, Dennis, there's something I want to talk to you about. Why did you go out and get your own program without consulting me?
Well,
And after all I've done for you. I found you when you were just a kid. I groomed you for radio. I gave you your big chance. I let you sing on the air every Sunday. I've been doing this for you, kid, for 8 years. Now, why did you go out and take another show?
I was hungry.
You silly boy. Why didn't you tell me you were hungry?
Yeah, Mother Hen Benny could have laid you a couple of eggs.
Mary, there's no time to be facetious. Now, Dennis, Phil, stop taking bows. I knew that word before you did.
You knew it before Webster did.
Yes, yes, all right. Now, Dennis, I want to tell you something. And, Phil, this goes for you, too. You can all have your own shows if you want to. If necessary, I'll get myself a new cast, new people. People who can get laughs, like the Mad Russian, like Senator Claghorn.
Somebody said Claghorn.
I said it, and I'm going to get...
Out with it, son, out with it.
Listen, I'm going to get...
Your mouth wide open, but your tongue's on
fire. Look, I'm going to get...
That's why you can't express yourself. Harold, that is.
Oh, what's the use? What's the use? This is a fine how do you do.
How do you do?
Dennis, stop! Now, listen, I meant what I said, and that goes for everybody here. And you four guys, too. Mm. Oh, for heaven's sake. Go ahead and sing, Dennis. I'm going home. Come on, Mary. I'll drive you home.
The rose must remain with the sun and the rain, or its lovely promise won't come true. Each his own, each his own, and my own is you. What good is a song if the words just don't belong, and a dream must be a dream for two? No good alone. For me, there's you. If a flame is to grow, there must be a glow. To open each door, there's a key. I need you, I know. I can't let you go. Your touch means too much. Insist on two more to be kissed, or they'll never know what love can do. Each his own, I found my own.
Take it easy, Rochester. Nice song Dennis picked for his first show. To each his own show. It's a fine, fine season I'm going to have. Phil's got his own show. Dennis has his own show. I don't know why they had to go out and get their own programs anyway.
Well, Jack, what are you so mad at them for? Don Wilson has four shows and you're not mad at him.
He pays me commission. Rochester, leave Miss Livingston off first and then take me home.
Yes, sir.
And take it easy, Rochester, will you?
Oh, Jack, stop being so nervous and upset.
Why wouldn't I be upset? Nobody thinks of me. Phil has his own show. Dennis has his own show. My writers are still stranded on the gambling ship. Stuck with a lousy quartet. This can go on week after week, month after month, year after year. That's radio for you. It's enough to drive a guy crazy.
Well, then why don't you quit?
I will not.
Every year the same thing.
Just a moment, but first, here is my good friend, L.A. Speed Rake.
Make no mistake.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Mr. Charles Jackson Gunter of Mount Airy, North Carolina, who has been an independent tobacco buyer for 53 years, said,
"Season after season, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy tobacco that's really tops in smoking quality. Fine, ripe, smooth-smoking tobacco that pays off in extra smoking enjoyment. I've smoked Lucky's myself for 29 years.
Independent tobacco experts like Mr. Gunter know that it takes fine tobacco to make a fine smoke. Yes, in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and fine tobacco means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
The famous tobacco auctioneers heard on tonight's program are Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of Goldsboro, North Carolina. And Mr. F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky.
That's 60, American.
Basil Rysdale speaking for Lucky Strike, the cigarette that means fine tobacco.
Say, boss, are you going out for dinner or are you going to stay home?
No, I think I'll go out.
Oh, with Miss Livingston?
No, she said she was going to bed early. Well, I'll call up and get a date.
Hello, National Broadcasting Company.
Hello, Mabel?
No, this is Gertrude.
Oh, let me talk to Mabel.
I'm sorry, she left...
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting...
KFI Los Angeles, Earl C. Anthony Incorporated.
It's the Fitch Bandwagon, starring Phil Harris and Alice Faye. The F.W. Fitch Company, makers of those fine Fitch products, present the Fitch Bandwagon, starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. The F.W. Fitch Company is happy to present Phil Harris and Alice Faye in the new Fitch Bandwagon show. We will do our utmost to bring you the best in listening entertainment. And you know, folks, doing your best is the best you can do. But ask yourself, are you really doing the best you can to remove unsightly dandruff from your head and scalp? Remember, one of the best things you can do is use Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. For Fitch is the only shampoo made whose guarantee to remove dandruff with a first application is backed by one of the world's largest insurance firms. And Fitch's is easy to use. Just pour a little of this antiseptic shampoo on the scalp and massage briefly. The amber liquid penetrates the thousands of tiny hair openings, cleansing them and dissolving all trace of dandruff. Then, add water gradually. Snowy white capped mountains of rich lather form to complete the cleansing and to carry away the dissolved dandruff. You'll know you can't do better. See for yourself how Fitch shampoo leaves your hair and scalp dandruff free. Now the bandwagon brings you Alice Faye and Phil Harris.
Hey, Irwin, here he comes.
Where?
Right there. They're coming out of the Jack Benny studio. He's heading for the parking lot.
Aw, that ain't him.
Sure, it's gotta be. He's wearing two polo coats.
Oh, nah, that ain't him.
All right, I'll ask him. Hiya, Jackson. Are you Phil Harris?
Well, who do I look like with these golden curls? Guy Lombardo?
Can we have your autograph?
Can you have my autograph? Certainly you can, kid. You look like a pretty sharp little kid. I'll give you my autograph. Now, let me see here. Phil Harris. There you are.
You see, Red? It's like I told you. He can, too, ride.
Yeah, but he'd have never made it if you hadn't guided his hand.
Hello, Mr. Harris.
Hiya, Dick. You got my car ready?
Yes, sir. Right over here, with the motor running.
Thanks, kid. Here.
Gee, thanks. Oh, say, Mr. Harris, I've noticed you're always in such a hurry every Sunday. How come you're so anxious to get home?
How old are you, kid?
18. Why?
I think it's time you had a nice long talk with your father.
Huh?
Never mind. So long. See you later, Richard.
There he goes, Red.
Yeah, yeah.
So long, Phil.
So long, Irwin.
Ah, gee, he's a swell guy, ain't he, Red? And boy, does he drive a snappy-looking car.
Yeah, so would you if you had Alice Faye's money.
Going out toward the valley, Pops?
Yeah, sure am, son.
Okay, hop in. I'll give you a lift.
Well, thank you, thank you.
Kind of hot for hitchhiking, ain't it, Pops?
You ain't saying nothing wrong, son. But I sure loves California. You a local boy, son?
No, I'm not. I'm from out of state.
Come here looking for work, huh?
Well, you might say that, yes.
Well, say, it's a pretty nice car you got here for a berry picker.
No, Pops. I'm more of an olive picker.
Oh, from Fresno?
No, from Martinis.
That's all you snuck up in the blind side of that one, son. Yeah.
How far out you going, Pops?
Bakersfield.
Oh, Bakersfield, huh?
Yeah.
Got a job up there?
Nope.
Going up to see your family?
Nope.
Then why are you going to Bakersfield?
Got a gal up there.
Oh, you, Pops, I didn't know there was that much Wheaties in the world.
Yeah, sure. I go up to see you every month.
Every month, huh?
Yeah.
Well, tell me something. This girl of yours, how does she feel about marriage?
Oh, she's all for it.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah. So's your husband.
Hey, you sure get around, don't you, Pops?
Oh, they don't call me Speedy for nothing. Say, what'd you say you do for a living, son?
Oh, I do a little singing now and then on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You ever listen to the radio, Pops?
Ooh, once in a while.
Well, I like it, too. Let's have a little. Let's tune in, huh?
Some music? Oh, yes,
sure.
Good idea. Go ahead.
All right.
You ain't one of them sons of the pioneers, be you?
No, Pops, I couldn't quite make that group. You see, I lean a little bit more toward the, stuff like this. Folks are dumb where I come from. They ain't had any learning. Still they're happy as can be, doing what comes naturally. Folks like us could never fuss with schools and books and learning. Still we've gone from A to Z, doing what comes naturally, doing what comes naturally. You don't have to know how to read or write when you're out with a girl in the pale moonlight. You don't have to have a professor's dome not to go for the honey when the bee's at home. That comes naturally, ooh, so naturally. My uncle out in Texas can't even write his name. He signs his check with X's, but they cash them just the same. Now Uncle Ben got angry when they caught him stealing chickens. I'm within my rights, said he, doing what comes naturally, doing what comes naturally.
Son,
yeah.
Just,
what's the matter?
Excuse me, son.
All right, well, hold it just a minute, Pop.
You can let me off here. I go right at this next corner.
Oh, you go right, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the lift, son.
Well, you're welcome, Pop, but wait a minute. You didn't tell me how you like my song.
You say you make your living singing like that?
That's right.
Well, then, I got a piece of advice for you.
Advice? What is it?
Son, save your money. So long.
So long, Speedy. Why, that old geezer, that's gratitude for you. Oh, I don't care. I still like myself. Grandpa Dick was always sick, but never saw a doctor. He just died at 93, doing what comes naturally. Hey, in there. Anybody home? Hey, Alice. Hey, Glamour Girl.
Hello, hello. Is that you, lover?
Heck no, it's your husband. Hey, come on over here, Luscious, and give me a great big kiss. Oh, honey.
Oh, what's the matter?
You ain't giving. I should have gone on to Bakersfield.
What?
Let it go, let it go. You're too beautiful to quiver with, you little beauty. Hey, I can smell dinner cooking. Honey, I'm really hungry.
Well, we'll be eating in just a minute. Now, come on in the living room.
Living room?
Mm-hmm. I want you to hear something.
All right, honey. Hey, that's that number from Annie Gets Your Gun.
Mm-hmm, that's the one we like so much. You know, I wanted you to hear it.
Well, I want to hear it, but you got to lay a course on me.
Well, I will, baby. They say that falling in love is wonderful. It's wonderful. So they say. And with a moon up above, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh, they tell me, I can't recall who said it. I know I never read it. I only know they tell me that love is grand. The thing that's known as romance is wonderful, wonderful.
And they fall down for Sinatra.
In every way, so they say.
Oh, honey, that was beautiful. You know, I could listen to you all night. I don't care now if I never eat.
Well, honey, now look, before I see about dinner, let's get serious for just a moment. Something awful happened today.
Awful? Mm-hmm. What?
Well, you know that favorite doll of baby Alice's?
Ingrid?
Yeah, Ingrid. That's the one. Well, I backed the car out of the garage this morning, and it was lying in the driveway, and I ran over it.
Oh, honey, that's murder. Murder. You know something? She's nuts about that doll.
Well, I guess one of us will have to tell her.
Well, don't worry about it too much, honey. I'll break it to her easy, you know. I'll use a little childish psychology. Hello, baby Alice.
Hello, my daddy.
How's my big girl today?
Fine.
What are you doing out here?
Making mud pies.
Uh-huh. Well, look, honey, I got something I gotta tell you.
Yes, daddy.
Well, it's...
Yes?
Well, don't never eat none of them mud pies. They'll poison you.
Is that all you wanted to tell me, daddy?
No, honey. It's something else. Look, baby, everybody in the world, grown-ups and little girls too, has something he loves very much. And then when someone comes along and takes it away from us, well, we feel pretty bad. Do you understand what I mean?
Oh, yes. Like when Mr. Benny cuts out all your lines.
Now, look, honey, look. Now, that's just some of your mama's propaganda. That's not it at all. I'm talking about you.
Me?
Yes, well, you and Ingrid.
What about Ingrid?
Well, Ingrid's sick.
Sick? What's wrong with her, Daddy?
Well, she's a little run down.
Does she have the measles?
No, it's more of a case of curvature of the driveway.
Where's Ingrid now?
They had to take her to the hospital.
Oh, when Ingrid comes home, will she bring another little dolly with her?
No, I don't think so.
But when Mommy goes to the hospital, she...
That's not the same thing!
Daddy, may I call up the hospital and see how she is?
Well, I don't think we ought to disturb her, honey. She's so sick that they may have to perform an appendectomy.
Appendectomy?
Sure, you know. Take out her tonsils.
Phil, did you talk to baby Alice?
Well, I tried to, honey, but I got all mixed up, and now she thinks her dolly's sick.
Oh, Phil.
Not only that, she wants to phone the hospital and find out how the doll is.
Well, that's just fine. Now, how do you plan to do that?
Well, I got a little plan. I don't know if it'll work or not, but I thought that if you went upstairs on the other extension and pretended that you were a nurse, well, we might get away with it.
All right. I'll try it, but I don't think much of the idea.
Well, don't slough it off, honey. This is the biggest part you've had since Fallen Angel.
Daddy, may I call the hospital now?
Yes, my little lady, right this minute. I'm going to get them on the phone for you. Hello, operator. Would you get me the General Hospital? Thank you. Hello, General Hospital? Look, do you have a patient there named Ingrid? Oh, you do, nurse? Well, look, I want you to talk to a little girl here and give her a full report on the patient. Oh, you will? Fine. Here, baby Alice, now you talk to the nurse.
Hello?
Hello? General Hospital. Nurse Blanton speaking.
Oh, hello, Mommy. What are you doing on the other extension?
Oh, Harris, you liver lip bungler, you.
How about your coffee? Shall we have it here or in the living room?
No coffee for me, honey. I'm too full. That was a big dinner. Gee, it was good, too. Oh,
thanks.
Hey, where are the kids?
Well, it's about their bedtime. Sissy's upstairs getting them undressed.
Say, I've been so busy with baby Alice, I hardly got a chance to talk to Phyllis. What's that little rascal been up to today?
Oh, by the way, I meant to speak to you about Phyllis. I don't think she should watch you shave in the morning.
Watch me shave? Why not?
Well, because she was copying you.
She didn't get my razor, did she?
No, but I caught her looking at herself in the bathroom mirror and saying, "Handsome brute. Handsome."
Well, so what? She's a cute kid, too.
Oh, honey, look at the time. We better get upstairs and say goodnight to the baby.
All right, we can go up and say goodnight to him, but here's where the trouble starts again. Now, you know that baby Alice never goes to sleep without that doll.
Well, the best thing is to try and get her mind off it.
Get her mind off of it. Get her mind off of it. Okay, but that ain't going to be easy. That's like asking Tommy Manville to concentrate on one dame.
How are my little girls tonight? All ready for bed, babies?
Yes, Mommy.
Phyllis ready, too.
You know, you kids are getting to look more like your mommy every day.
We are, Daddy.
Yeah, but cheer up, kids. You may outgrow it.
Well, thank you, dear.
Sing us a song, Mommy. Sing us a song.
Now, calm down, Philly. Calm down. In a minute.
Alice, Daddy, you know about my dolly Ingrid? Well, she's a...
Yes, I know, honey, I know. But first, don't worry about that tonight. Daddy's going to tell you a wonderful story. I'm going to tell you kids the one about Jack and the beanstalk.
Gee, that's a good one, Daddy.
You like the way Daddy tells his stories, don't you, Philly?
No, I like the funny faces he makes.
All right, now, never mind the cracks. You kids just listen.
Hurry up, Daddy. Tell the story.
All right. Now, let me see. Oh, yeah. A long, long time ago, there was a little boy named Jack. And he lived with his mother in the middle of a beautiful forest. But although they lived in this beautiful woods and their cottage was all neat and clean, they were very, very poor.
Were they awfully poor, Daddy?
Honey, they were so poor they had nothing to eat but old pieces of bread. And poor little Jack had to hold his pants up with Hoover buttons. Finally, things got so bad that, well, Jack's mother decided to sell the old family cow so they'd have money to buy food.
But, Daddy, if they were that hungry, why didn't they eat the cow?
Well, honey, they couldn't eat meat. They was veterinarians.
Oh.
Well, anyway, Jack put an old piece of rope around the cow and took it off to the market. Now, he was gone for 3 whole days, and his poor old mother was half out of her mind. But at last, Jack came home, and she asked him for the money. But Jack said, well, I sold the cow, Mama, but instead of money, a nice old man gave me these 3 wonderful magic beans. So Jack's mother looked at him and says, why, Jack, you dear sweet boy. And with that, she drove him 6 feet into the ground with a 2x4.
Bill, she did no such thing.
Maybe not, but that's what my old lady would have done.
Bill, please.
Tell some more, Daddy.
All right, Mommy, stay out of this. Well, anyway, Jack's mother was very, very angry, and she threw the beans out the window. And once again, they had to go to bed without any supper at all.
But if they were so hungry, why didn't they eat the beans?
Because that would have loused up the rest of my story. Now, listen. Anyway, early the next morning, Jack woke up, looked out in the backyard, and there was a beanstalk 90 stories high. So Jack started climbing the beanstalk. He climbed and climbed and climbed some more. And when he got to the top, what do you suppose he saw?
A great big giant in a great big castle.
That's right. And the big giant had a magic chicken that laid golden eggs. So Jack hid in the corner until the giant went fast asleep. Then he tiptoed out with hardly a sound and quick as a wink, grabbed the chicken and lit out for home. Jack went down the beanstalk fast as he could with that mean old giant chasing him all the way. But Jack got out first, grabbed up a great big axe and cut down that beanstalk with 2 quick blows.
And the giant fell down and was killed. Jack and his mother lived happily ever after.
No, not exactly. You see, honey, the kid was indicted on 3 counts of manslaughter. And I mean to say they had to hire a pretty smart mouthpiece to beat that rap.
Oh, Bill.
But, Daddy, what happened to the chicken that laid the golden egg?
What are you asking? The lawyer laid a bill on Jack for $28,000, and the chicken wore itself out trying to meet the payments. Mommy, what's the matter with you?
Now, you know that's nothing like the real story.
Well, that's the way they used to tell it in reform school.
Daddy, tell another story. Please tell us another story.
Some other time, babies. Now, you both better get some sleep, huh?
Daddy, about Ingrid,
Look, baby. I got a confession to make. Ingrid, your little dolly is not really in the hospital. Daddy was only fibbing to you. See, I...
Yes, honey, it was an accident. I backed over Ingrid with a car.
I know, Mommy.
You know? Well, then why didn't you say something about it before?
Well, I didn't mention it because I didn't want Mommy to feel bad.
Oh, that's my little gal that said that. That's Daddy's little girl. Oh, honey. What do you think about that, Mommy?
Well, that's awfully sweet of you, baby, but I thought Ingrid was your very, very favorite doll.
Yes, but I won't miss her much. She's been an awful problem child lately.
Not only that, sweetheart, Daddy's going to get you another dolly in the morning, so
Why don't you kids get ready now and let's turn out the lights, huh?
But Mommy was going to sing for us.
All right, all right. When Daddy turns the light out, I'll sing.
There you are.
Good night, my love. The tired old moon is descending. Good night, my love. My moment with you now is ending. It was so heavenly holding you close to me. It will be heavenly to hold you again in my dreams. The stars above have promised to meet us tomorrow. Till then, my love, how dreary the new day will seem. So for the present, dear, we'll have to part. Good night, my loves. Sleep tight, my loves.
Good night, Daddy.
Good night.
Good night, babies.
Good night, you little rascals.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. Every woman wants to be as pretty as a picture, and she can be, too, by framing her face with hair as clean as the fresh morning dew, hair shimmering with soft, lovely lights. To create such a picture, all you need is a bottle of Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo, the shampoo that reconditions as it cleanses, removing dandruff and giving your hair a silken, soft appearance. You'll like the way Fitch Shampoo produces an abundant mass of swirling, foamy lather to efficiently cleanse your hair and scalp. Yet Fitch's is so gentle, it will not harm even a baby's tender scalp. Fitch Shampoo has been granted the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval and the Parents Magazine Commendation Seal. Use Fitch Shampoo regularly each week. See how it turns uncontrollable locks into a sparkling, easy-to-manage, easy-to-look-at frame for your face. Be as pretty as a picture with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Ask for Fitch Shampoo at your favorite drug or toilet goods counter, or have a professional application at your beauty or barber shop. Fitch is spelled F-I-T-C-H.
Well, now that the babies are in bed, what would you like to do this evening?
Well, I'd just as soon sit here with you and take it easy.
Okay.
Well, come on over here, beautiful. Let's get cozy.
You mean like this?
Yeah, that's more like it. Now turn around here a minute.
Oh. Why that great big sigh, Phil?
Oh, nothing. I was just wondering how Speedy's making out in Bakersfield.
Well,
in next week when the F.W. Fitch Company again brings you the Fitch Bandwagon with Alice Faye and Phil Harris. This program is written by Bob Mosier and Joe Connolly, directed by Paul Phillips, with original music composed and conducted by Walter Sharp. Our cast included Janine Roos and Ann Whitfield. Alice Faye appears through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox.
Have a while, let us all be as fabulous Fitch shampoo. Don't despair, use your head, save your hair, use Fitch
After and between Fitch shampoos, you can keep your hair shining and manageable by using a few drops of Fitch's Ideal Hair Tonic every day. Fitch's Ideal Hair Tonic is not sticky or greasy, yet it gives your hair that well-groomed look. Bill Foreman speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Well, hello again. It's kind of funny. This is probably my third introduction, probably of this particular episode, but I wanted to do a new one, so here's a brand new introduction for it. This season of the Jack Benny Show is so amazing. I don't think there's ever been another quite like it. It introduced so many continuing characters and themes to the show. What a fantastic year. This is the first full year of Ed Beloine and Bill Morrow writing the show, with Al Boasberg helping out. And Boasberg would die later in the season, but not before introducing us to Rochester. So this season brings us, with this episode, the very first appearance on the Jack Benny Show of Phil Harris, which will be fun for you guys to hear. This season also is going to bring us Andy Devine joining the cast later on. It's going to bring us the main section of the Buck Benny skits. They start here. Our friend Rochester appears for his first time this season, and he's going to appear in multiple roles, but eventually turn into the Rochester character we all know and love so much. And it's just where the whole thing just really starts to gel, and really each season was getting better and better, and they're adding pieces in. First they kind of add Dawn, and then they find Kenny Baker, and then the writing switches to Beloine and Morrow at the end of last year, and then this year with the addition of Phil Harris, it just really all comes together. So I hope you all enjoy this first episode of the 1936-37 season. Oh, another small little piece. Something starts with like another guy who's got a show. I guess he's Fred Allen, I guess. And they start this little thing. It's called The Feud, that blossoms into this huge, huge thing for both shows, and is part of radio history. And so we get to hear the beginnings of The Feud. And what's really cool, because it's now the 75th anniversary of these shows. But if I would have tried to do this last year on the 74th anniversary, we wouldn't have nearly as much Fred Allen as we're going to have in The Feud. So many of the Fred Allen shows have surfaced this year, which is exciting. So we're going to get a chance to hear some shows that folks haven't heard for 75 years. And that'll be an exciting thing when we get the whole feud going back and forth and ping-ponging between Fred Allen, which we'll be bringing you probably on Friday nights, and Jack Benny, which of course will be here on Saturday nights. So I am just really gung-ho for this season, and I'm so glad we get to start it. And I'm so glad that we get to have our friend Phil Harris joining the Jack Benny troupe. Probably, in my opinion, the greatest addition to the Jack Benny show of any character ever, really. And that's a pretty strong statement, considering how powerful Don Wilson is, and Dennis Day, and Kenny Baker, and Mary. But Phil is unique. So, and tune in tomorrow for us to bring you the first episode of the 1951-1952 season of The Phil Harris Show. So that will be fun. And for now, enjoy Jack Benny and Phil Harris.
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Phil Harris and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with Here's Love in Your Eye from Jack's own picture, the big broadcast of 1937. Hang out the welcome sign. Strike up the band. Jack Benny's back with us again. Tonight marks the beginning of Jackson Mary's third year on the air for Jell-O, and they're raring to go. And judging from all the letters we've had, you're raring to listen. So everybody's happy, and lots of the credit for that goes to you, our audience, because your enthusiastic support of Jell-O makes it possible for us to continue these programs. The makers of Jell-O have asked me to thank you for your encouragement, and they've also asked me, as official Jell-O spokesman, to thank Jack and Mary for all their grand work in the past, and to wish them great good luck on the new series they begin tonight. So let's give six delicious cheers for the one and only genuine Jell-O, and for Jell-O's one and only Jack Benny. And now, ladies and gentlemen, after 4 months' vacation, we present to you the man the whole world is waiting to hear. New York, New York.
Who's on the air tonight, dear?
Jack Benny.
Oh, let's go to a movie.
Denver, Colorado.
Oh, Daddy, let's go see a picture show tonight.
Jack Benny is on the air.
I want to see you in Jumbo.
Glasgow, Indiana.
Heather, who's on the radio tonight?
Jack Benny.
Well, it'll cost me money, but let's go to the movies.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring to you the man who has done more for moving pictures than any other comedian, Jack Benny.
Hey, Don. Don, would you mind trying one more town?
Which one?
Oh, anyone. Say, Waukegan, Illinois.
Okay. Waukegan, Illinois.
Who's on the air tonight, Mr. Benny?
My son, Jack. What a boy.
Oh, then you're not going to the movies tonight.
No, I saw the picture.
Do you want me to tune in any other time?
No, Don, that's enough. Well, hello again. This is Jack Benny, who has just returned from his vacation. And I want to tell you, it's great to be back again. Back with this old gang of mine.
You mean me, Jack?
I sure do. Let's give Wilson a nice big hand. Yes, sir. But no kidding, Don, you look swell. Fit as a bass fiddle. I don't know, you're so tan and rugged.
Oh, thanks, Jack. You look tan and rugged, too. Where did you spend your vacation?
Well, Don, I worked most of the summer at the Paramount Studio, but I did manage to get a couple of weeks off. So I went to Saratoga Springs to the races. I wasn't very lucky, though.
Oh, Saratoga Springs. Oh, yes, I lost an uncle there once.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had to put up cash.
Oh.
And, and then I spent a couple of weeks camping up in the Adirondacks.
Oh, that's right. You told me you were going to do that.
Yeah, and by the way, Don, I want to thank you for lending me your shirt.
Oh, that's all right.
It was swell. I had the only tent with a soft collar.
Ha, 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 ha.
I told you that would go over, didn't I?
I like that a lot.
What have you been doing the last few months, Don?
Well, I had your job. I was master of ceremonies on the Jell-O Summer Show.
Oh, sure, sure.
You know, Jack, the Jell-O sales increased tremendously.
They did, huh?
Yes, sir. And that means that while I was telling jokes, more people than ever before went out and bought Jell-O.
While you were telling jokes. Well, that's a boost for the product only, you know. Come in.
Pardon me. Lewis is my name. I'm a reporter on the radio guide.
Oh, yes, yes.
I'm here to get an interview.
Oh, of course. Certainly. Pardon me, Don.
Has Kenny Baker arrived yet?
Not yet.
Thanks. I'll wait.
Hey, you know, I'm Jack Benny.
Yes, I know.
What were we talking about, Don?
Oh, you were saying how tan and rugged I look.
Oh, yeah, I thought we went further than that. Oh, Don, look who's here.
Hello, Don. Hello, Jack. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Mary, it's good to see you. You're looking great. You haven't changed a bit.
You look good, too, Jack. Gee, you're so tan and ragged.
Mary, it's not ragged, it's rugged.
I know, but who can get a laugh?
Oh, Mary, always thinking of the program. Well, honey, have you had any fun? Did you have a nice vacation?
I did until I had to go to the hospital.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, I didn't either, Mary.
Yeah, and you know, Jack, I had the cutest doctor you ever met.
Yeah?
You ought to see him. Blue eyes and a little mustache. Ooh, what a doll.
A doll, huh?
Yeah. Last week he took my tonsils out. Gee, am I excited.
Why are you excited now?
Next week he's taking me out. Oh, boy, is he handsome.
Yeah, yeah.
Say, Jack.
What?
How do you get more tonsils?
You can't get any more.
Yeah, I wish I had something else I didn't need.
Mary, cut it out, will you?
Pardon me, has Kenny Baker arrived yet?
No, Mr. Lewis, but if there's any information you want, I'm always glad to talk to a reporter.
No, thanks, I'll wait.
Who is that, Jack?
Oh, some fellow. Well, Mary, didn't you take a vacation at all last summer?
Oh, sure, Jack. I went to Coronado Beach for 3 weeks.
You did, huh?
Yeah, and I brought you a little present. Here.
Oh, Mary, my, what a pretty seashell. My goodness, huh? See, just what I needed. Let's see what it says on it. Oh, souvenir of Coronado Beach. Oh, gee.
And you know, Jack, if you put it up to your ear, you can hear music.
No kidding, I'll try it. Mary, I don't hear any music.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, you got to put your other ear up to a radio.
Oh, I see.
Oh, Jack.
Yes, Don?
Phil Harris is here. You haven't forgotten about him, have you?
Oh, Phil, of course. Gee, I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet a new addition to our little group, that famous orchestra leader, Phil Harris.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And thank you, Jack.
I want to apologize, Phil, for not introducing you sooner.
Oh, that's all right.
You know how it is, the opening program and all the nervousness and excitement and that reporter bothering me all the time, you know.
But, Jack, he didn't ask you for an interview.
That's what bothers him.
Does not. Oh, Mary, this is Phil Harris. Phil, this is Mary Livingston.
Hello, Mary. I've always wanted to meet you, and I'm very happy that we're going to be together.
Oh, thank you. I'll be glad to have dinner with you tonight.
Mary, he didn't ask you to go to dinner.
What a cheap guy.
Don't mind her. One thing I want to tell you, Phil, you're going to enjoy being with us. I never interfere with anything. You can always pick out your own music. In fact, you can be your own boss. And not only that, I'll always see that you get the best joke.
What joke?
The one about being your own boss.
Quiet. Well, Phil, how about a little number? Let's hear the new orchestra. Eh?
All right, Jack. For the first number, we'll play Bye Bye Baby.
Well...
Pardon me, Mr. Benny. Has Kenny Baker arrived yet?
No, but I'll be glad
Never
to...
mind. I'll wait.
Play Don, or John. Or what's your first name, Phil?
Steve.
Oh, yes. Play Frank.
Reporter.
Thank you. Bye Bye Baby, played by Phil Harris and his orchestra, with Johnny Green at the piano on another program. And I want to tell you, Phil, as one musician to another, that excellent music.
Thanks, Jack.
Say, Phil, you don't mind if I describe you to our listeners, do you? After all, they will be interested.
No, but, well, don't build me up too much.
I won't. You don't know nothing yet. Well, anyway, folks, in describing Phil, I might say he's tall, rather good-looking. The ladies like him. But still, he's the kind of a guy you can trust with your best girl. If you can trust your best girl.
Oh, Jack, why don't you quit ribbing?
I'm not ribbing you, Phil. I just happened to run across a joke.
Well, you're about due.
First time your orchestra laughed at anything, you know? My first program. Well, anyway, folks, I said before, Phil is the romantic type. Well, I mean, I didn't mean that. Well, that was really a slip. I didn't mean that. Phil is the romantic type. Yes, sir. He's got fire in his eyes, a wave in his hair, a smile on his face.
And rhythm on the range.
Quiet, Irene.
Okay, Tim. You know, Jack, Phil Harris is cute, isn't he?
Yeah.
He looks just like my doctor.
Mary, forget that doctor, will you?
Gee, I can't get him off my mind. Oh, doctor.
I wish you'd stayed home till you came out of the ether. Suppose I'm going to hear about that guy all season, huh?
Pardon me, are you sure Kenny Baker hasn't arrived yet?
No, Mr. Lewis, I know he hasn't.
Then you, Mr. Benny, tell me. Do you think radio is here to stay?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm not. Goodbye.
I knew I'd get an interview. Say, Don.
Yes, Jack?
Open the closet and let Kenny out.
Okay. Here he is.
Hiya, Kenny.
Hello.
Oh, Kenny, you're not sore because I locked you in the closet, are you?
No, but you didn't have to hang me on a hook.
Well, I'm always neat. Hey, I was saving you for that big entrance. You heard that applause, didn't you?
Oh, sure. Thanks, Jack.
Certainly.
Hello, Kenny.
Hello, Mary. Hiya, Don.
Hello, Kenny.
Say, Kenny, have you noticed Don's put on a lot of weight?
Yeah, he looks so tan and rugged.
I think we've carried that joke far enough. And, Kenny, I want you to shake hands with our new orchestra leader, Mr. Harris.
Glad to know you, Kenny.
Gee, it's a Phil.
I knew he was going to say that. And why didn't you stop him? Oh, I took your line. I'm sorry, man. Well, tell me, Kenny. Tell me, Kenny, what kind of a vacation did you have?
Huh? Oh, pretty fair. It was all right, I guess.
Where were you?
Well, I spent 2 months in Catalina, 4 weeks in New York.
And a half hour in the closet.
Well, it wasn't his fault.
Boy, is he dumb.
He is not.
He is, too. He didn't even notice I had my tonsils out.
Yeah, go ahead, Mary. Why don't you tell him about that doctor you're so crazy about?
He's crazy about me, too.
Yeah. Well, Kenny, it's been a long time since we heard you sing. How about a little number right now?
All right, Jack. I'll sing The Way You Look Tonight.
Oh, your voice is better than that, Kenny, huh? Hey, I didn't think that was going to go over that big, did it? Well, go ahead. Oh, the phone. Wait a minute. Hello? Yes? Oh, it's for you, Mary.
Hello? Yes? Oh, hello, doctor. It's my doctor, Jack.
All right, stop trembling.
How are my tonsils? That's good. What's that? You have? Well, I've been thinking of you, too.
I wish she'd leave her romance out of this program.
Shh. What? Oh, doctor. No. No, Doc, you'll have to coax me. No. No, you'll have to coax me. You'll have to coax me.
Fine.
Oh, doctor, this is so sudden.
What does he want, Mary?
A check for the operation.
Oh.
Some nerve. I'm glad I met Phil Harris.
Yeah, sing, Kenny.
Someday
the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight. Lovely, with your smile so warm and your cheeks so soft, there is nothing for me but to love you just the way you look tonight. With each word your tenderness grows, tearing my fear apart, love, and that laugh that wrinkles your nose touches my foolish heart. Lovely, never change, keep that breathless charm, won't you please arrange it, 'cause I love you just the way you look.
Was Kenny Baker singing The Way You Look Tonight, written by Jerome Kern for the picture Swing Time. Well, Kenny, your vacation must have done you a lot of good because you're singing better than ever. I mean, your voice has a better quality. It's clearer and sweeter.
Thanks, kid.
Kid, well, time marches backward.
Say, Jack, will you do me a favor?
What is it?
I brought my girl over to our first broadcast, and she's dying to meet you. She just wants to say hello.
Oh, I didn't know you had a girl.
Sure. I met her this summer over at Catalina. Boy, she thinks I'm pretty hot.
Well, bring her in, Kenny. I'll be glad to meet her.
All right. She's kind of dopey, though.
I figured that, yeah. Bring her in, huh?
Come here, honey. I want you to meet Jack Benny.
Oh. Hello.
Hello yourself and see how you like it.
Well, well, so you're the little girl from Catalina.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Lena Katz.
Oh, go on. Who told you to say that?
Kenny, ain't he screwy?
Well, Kenny, you sure know how to pick him. You got a nice little girl there.
Yes, but she's fickle. She likes Fred McMurray, too.
Oh, Fred McMurray, the movie star?
Yeah, he's my dream man.
She's smarter than I thought she was.
Mary. So you like Fred McMurray, huh?
I'll say. Gee, I'd go to see him even if it wasn't bank night.
Well, I don't blame you.
Oh, Mr. Benny, I hope you don't think I'm too fresh, but,
What is it? Come on, don't be bashful.
Would you give me a lock of your hair for a souvenir?
Ah, you are fickle. But isn't that cute, Mary? She wants a lock of my hair.
Why don't you give her the whole wig?
What, and catch a cold? Some other time, Lena. Say, your girl's all right, Kenny.
She's talented, too. I wish you could use her on the program sometime.
Oh, yeah? What's she got that I haven't got?
Tonsils.
Hey. Hey, that's good, you know.
Well, Jack.
What is it, Don?
Your guest star has just arrived.
Oh, did he get here? Gee, I was worried there for a minute. Keep him in the entrance till I introduce him. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that all of you have heard and read about that hazardous transatlantic flight made by Harry Richman and Dick Merrill.
one of the greatest achievements of mechanical skill and human daring the world has ever known. This round-trip flight was made in exactly 39 hours and 17 minutes. What courage, what stamina to endure the rigors of such a flight. So now, ladies and gentlemen, it is with great honor and distinction that I present to you the man who drove the truck that carried the gas that filled the tank of Harry Richmond's plane. None other than Mr. Samuel T. Butchvinner. Mr. Butchvinner, I cannot tell you how grateful I am for your appearance on our program this evening.
Thank you.
Now, how did you feel when you were given this assignment to deliver the gas to Mr. Richmond?
Well, I was a little nervous at first, but I knew I could do it.
I see. Well, tell us about your trip.
Well, after a light breakfast consisting of a New England boiled dinner, I took on a big cargo of gasoline.
How much?
Oh, just oodles of it.
Oodles of gasoline, I
see. Yes, well, anyway, I swung into my truck and took off at exactly 3:10 a.m.
From the gas station?
Uh-huh. Oh. I made moderate speed through 59th Street until I reached the Queensboro Bridge, and then I let her out.
How thrilling.
From then on, it was smooth driving until I reached Flushing Boulevard.
Oh, Flushing. Is that that winding street?
No, it's a straight flush.
Now, tell me, on your trip to the airport, did you encounter any headwinds?
Yes, but it was all right. For buoyancy, I filled my truck with 40,000 cannonballs.
Now, what kind of a reception did you receive on your arrival at the airport?
It was sensational.
And what did Mr. Richmond say to you when you delivered the gas?
I'll pay you later.
I see. Now, Mr. Butchvinner, before I lose my temper entirely, besides driving a truck, what other notable contribution to aviation have you made?
Well, during the World War, I took up flying.
Oh, you did, Were you a promising student?
Oh, yes. My instructor told me that in no time, I'd make an ace of myself.
Getting back to your journey, did you have any trouble on your return trip?
Yes, I hit a road pocket and was thrown out of my truck into an open manhole.
Oh, my goodness. Mary, what are you laughing at?
An ace in the hole.
Okay, now just one more question. Did you make this trip alone?
No, I had my assistant driver with me, Mr. Borscht.
Well, I don't want to appear personal, but there has been a report that you and your co-driver have been on rather unfriendly terms. Especially on this last trip. Is there any truth to that?
Definitely no.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
In fact, there's never been any jealous flow. See?
I get it.
So do I, and thank you.
Is Mr. Borscht here with you?
Yes, he's sitting right in the audience.
Well, put him on a plate and bring him up. Mr. Borscht, will you come up here, please? I wish I had known this sooner. So you also made this trip, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell me, when you get behind the wheel of a truck, what road do you like to travel best?
You mean my favorite highway?
Yes.
Oh, Jack, give me the road, the white winding highway. Then let me know the unbeaten byway, and I'll travel along, singing a bag of bombs.
Playfair. Sing Baby Sing from the motion picture of the same name. And now, ladies and gentlemen, our first program is nearly over, and I'd like to announce our feature attraction for next Sunday night. Most of you have read that outstanding novel by Hervey Allen called Anthony Adverse, and many of you have already seen Warner Brothers' great production. If you haven't, see it this week, because next Sunday night we are going to present our version of that famous classic, our own super, gigantic, stupid, stupendous, colossal presentation, Anthony Adverse. Don't miss it, folks. Next Sunday night, you'll cheer.
Hooray!
You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll sneeze.
Gesundheit.
Next Sunday night, folks, when we bring you Anthony Adverse, in addition to the regular newsreel, short subjects, and bank night, bring your own bank. What thrills, what chills, what glamour.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Next Sunday night, Anthony Adverse.
I've a real piece of news for you tonight. Grand good news. The makers of Jell-O now present you with a brand new product. Jell-O chocolate pudding, the best tasting chocolate pudding that's ever come your way. It's smoother, it's creamier, it's more chocolatey. Jell-O chocolate pudding has that swell homemade flavor, the same goodness you used to enjoy when your grandmother made chocolate pudding. And Jell-O chocolate pudding is so easy to make. Just mix the contents of the package with some milk in the top of your double boiler and let it cook until it becomes thick and satin smooth. Then when the mixture's cooled, pour it into the sherbet glasses, and you're ready to surprise your friends and family with a fine, rich, thoroughly delicious chocolate pudding. Each package gives you 6 servings and sells for the same low price as Jell-O. Ask your grocer for Jell-O chocolate pudding in the morning. Remember the name, Jell-O chocolate pudding.
Last number of the first program in the third Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. Meanwhile, I'd like to announce that the chap who played the part of the truck driver on tonight's program was Benny Baker of Paramount Pictures. And Benny, you certainly played the part of that truck driver very, very well.
Well, that's what I used to be before I went into pictures.
Don't sell your truck.
Quiet. Mary, isn't he nice looking?
Nah, he looks like my doctor.
Oh, good night, folks.
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny has originated in the NBC studios in Hollywood over the Red Network. This is the National Broadcasting Company.